Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is the Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be looking at Progressive Corporation's third quarter 2024 performance.
Right.
We've got their earnings call transcript and the detailed 10Q report.
Okay.
So this deep dive is particularly interesting because we get to see how a major insurance company navigates a year with, you know, record profits and major hurricanes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on. And it offers some insight into how the industry kind of deals with these things.
Well, and what's really fascinating is that Progressive, you know, exceeded profit expectations in Q3 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Hurricane Helene happening during that time,
Okay. They
saw significant growth in policies, particularly in personal auto. And it looks like this was driven by increased advertising spending and a slight loosening of their underwriting restrictions.
Okay, so how did they pull that off? Was it just a stroke of luck or was there something more strategic going on?
It seems like their strategy is really paying off.
Okay.
They've got a commitment to this 96 combined ratio. So think of it like their financial compass, right? Guiding them to this sweet spot where they can expand aggressively, but still make sure they're staying profitable.
Okay, so break that down for me.
Sure.
What does a 96 combined ratio actually mean?
Basically, it means that they're trying to keep their combined expenses and claims payouts under 96 cents for every dollar of premium they earn. Anything over that, and they're dipping into their profits.
So it's a delicate balance between expansion and like maintaining that healthy bottom line.
Yeah, a real tightrope walk.
Cool.
But, you know, from the looks of their Q3 performance, they seem to be managing that balancing act pretty well.
That's impressive. Okay.
Now, let's take a look at how this strategy plays out in their actual financials.
Sounds good. Where do we even begin with a company as massive as Progressive?
Well, a good place to start is their investment portfolio.
Okay.
As of September 30, 2024, they had $66 billion in investments.
Wow. That's a serious chunk of change.
It is.
Are they taking big risks with all that money?
Actually, they're playing it pretty safe.
Okay.
About 60% of that is in short-term investments in U.S. Treasury securities.
Okay.
So that's considered very stable and liquid.
Makes sense. They need to be able to pay out claims quickly.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when you're dealing with something like a hurricane.
Exactly. And to further minimize that risk, their portfolio has an average credit rating of AAA.
So they're being financially responsible with their investments.
They are.
Okay.
But how did they actually perform in terms of underwriting?
Yeah. Did they actually make money from selling insurance, or were the hurricanes a big drag on their bottom line?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Despite Hurricane Helene, their underwriting performance was really strong across all segments.
Really? Break it down for me.
Personal lines had a 10.4% underwriting profit margin.
Okay.
Commercial lines came in at 11.3%. And then property, property achieved a whopping 21.5%.
Hold on. 21.5% in property. But wasn't that the segment that got hit hardest by Hurricane Helene?
It was.
I'm a little confused.
Yeah. And you're right. Property insurance typically takes the biggest hit from hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the key. They experienced favorable development on earlier storms from the first half of the year.
Oh, okay.
Particularly those from May. So that essentially offset a good chunk of Hurricane Helene's impact.
So it sounds like a bit of good fortune helped them out.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
But it also highlights their ability to accurately assess risk and set reserves appropriately.
Okay.
They're not just, you know, throwing darts at a board when it comes to pricing their policies.
But they can't predict everything right.
Right. And they acknowledge that. Okay. They're very upfront about the challenges of estimating future severity, particularly in personal auto art.
Why is that?
Well, think about all the moving parts.
Right.
Inflation, used car prices going crazy,
yeah.
rising medical costs. These all make it incredibly hard to predict what future claim payouts will be.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Now, we talked about their growth strategies earlier. Can you dive a bit deeper into how they're attracting new customers?
Sure.
Is it just about spending a ton of money on advertising?
Well, they are investing heavily in advertising.
Okay.
They significantly increased their ad budget in Q3.
Okay.
And it seems to have paid off. Hmm. They're seeing record numbers of quotes and new business applications.
But are they just going for quantity over quality? Are they trying to insure anyone and everyone?
Not at all.
Okay.
They're actually using really sophisticated customer segmentation.
Okay.
To target specific groups with specific strategies.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What do you mean by customer segmentation?
Well, they've identified key customer groups, right?
Okay.
Each with their own unique characteristics and needs.
Okay.
They even have fun internal nicknames for them. Sam's, Diane's, Wright's, and Robinson's.
Hold on. They named their customer segments.
I did.
That's pretty clever.
It is.
Tell me more about these Sam's, Diane's, Wright's, and Robinson's.
Okay.
Who are they, and how does Progressive target them differently?
That's a great question, and that's what we're going to dig into next. So it's like they've cracked a code recognizing that one-size-fits-all approach to marketing
right.
just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Each of these segments, the Sams, Diane's, Wright's, and Robinson's,
yeah.
they all have their own needs and priorities.
Right.
And even how they like to interact with marketing is different.
So give me the rundown. Who are these characters?
Well, take Sams, for example.
Okay.
They saw this massive increase in new applications from Sam's in Q3.
Okay.
But their conversion rate over the first 9 months of 2024 actually went down.
So they're interested but not committing.
Yeah. Lots of window shopping, but not buying the product.
What's going on there?
Well, it kind of suggests that they need to tweak their marketing message a little bit for this group.
Okay.
You know, maybe they're attracting a lot of bargain hunters who like the low price, but they're not quite sold on Progressive's value proposition.
So it's not just about getting people in the door. It's about converting them into long-term customers.
Exactly.
What about the other groups? Like, how do Diane's and Wright's differ from Sam's?
Well, Diane's and Wright's seem to be responding much better to Progressive's marketing.
Okay.
They're seeing strong growth in both, quote, volume and conversion rates with these segments.
So they've hit the sweet spot with those groups.
It seems like it, yeah.
Interesting.
Perhaps Diane's and Wright's are more drawn to, you know, Progressive's brand reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Their commitment to customer service or even specific features of their policies.
So it sounds like a constant process of experimentation and refinement.
Yeah.
To figure out what works best for each group.
Absolutely. It's all about analyzing that data, testing different messages, and continuously tweaking their approach
right.
to get the best results for each segment.
Now, speaking of data, I wanted to circle back to something you mentioned earlier,
yeah.
the NAIC ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You said Progressive uses these for some of their investments. But honestly, I'm still a bit fuzzy on what that even means and why it's important.
Yeah. No, that's understandable.
Right.
NAIC stands for the National Association of Insurance Commissioners.
Okay.
And they have their own system for rating the creditworthiness of securities.
Okay.
It's kind of like a parallel universe to the ratings you typically see from those big credit rating agencies.
Okay. So why would Progressive choose to use this alternative rating system? Are they just trying to be different, or is there a strategic reason behind it?
No, they actually believe that it provides a more accurate picture of their risk profile.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to investments like mortgage-backed securities.
Interesting. Okay.
You see, NAIC ratings don't just look at the issuer's creditworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
They also take into account things like the book value of that security and the potential for future losses.
So they're really taking a deeper dive.
They are.
Looking beyond just the surface to assess the true risk involved.
Exactly. They're essentially taking this more holistic and forward-looking approach to risk assessment. Mm-hmm.
Which is super crucial when you're responsible for paying out what could be massive claims.
Right. It all comes back to that balancing act we were talking about.
Yeah,
managing growth while making sure they're financially stable.
Yeah. they're taking calculated risks, but they're also doing their homework to really understand and mitigate those risks.
And this approach extends to their entire investment portfolio, right?
It does.
They're constantly monitoring the markets, how their investments are performing, and making adjustments along the way.
Absolutely.
To make sure everything aligns with their long-term financial goals.
Right.
And their ability to pay out those claims to policyholders.
That's the key.
Okay, speaking of obligations.
Yeah.
Those hurricane losses must be weighing pretty heavily on their minds right now.
Uh-huh.
$600 million in combined losses from Helene and Milton.
Yeah.
That's not insignificant, even for a company as large as Progressive.
It's a significant sum.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that the insurance business, it's cyclical.
There are going to be good years and bad years.
Right.
You'll have years with favorable loss trends, and then you'll have years where these major events happen.
Like hurricanes.
Exactly. And they cause a surge in claims.
So how do they prepare for these inevitable blips in the road?
It's really a combination of things.
Oh.
You know, they've got strong risk management practices in place.
Mm-hmm.
They're careful about what risks they underwrite.
Yeah.
And they make sure that they have enough reserves set aside.
To cover potential losses.
Right.
But wouldn't all those hurricane claims eat into their profits?
Mm-hmm.
How do they ensure they're still making money at the end of the day?
Well, one tool they have is pricing.
Okay.
They have the ability to adjust their premiums to reflect changes in the risk environment.
Right.
And we've already seen them implement rate increases in both personal and commercial auto over the last year.
And they mentioned in their earnings call that they expect rates to remain stable for the rest of 2024, at least for personal auto. But does that mean they're ruling out future rate increases?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
It all depends on how these hurricane losses ultimately shake out.
Right.
And whether those underlying cost drivers we talked about, inflation and used car prices, change.
So they're walking this tightrope between staying competitive on pricing while also making sure they're charging enough to cover future claims.
Exactly. It's a constant balancing act.
Yeah.
One, they're constantly evaluating and adjusting based on the latest data and trends.
Okay.
Now, I want to shift gears a little bit.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about something I found really heartwarming in these reports.
Okay.
The stories about Progressive employees going above and beyond to help their customers.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the numbers.
Right.
But these little stories, they really paint a picture of the company's culture and values.
Absolutely. You're talking about those stories from the CEO's letter, right?
Yes.
Like the one about Tanya, the claims rep from Louisiana, who helped a woman get insured at a drive-thru?
That's the one.
It's incredible.
The woman's previous policy hadn't been renewed because of a deer accident.
Wow.
And Tanya went out of her way to help her get coverage right then and there.
During her lunch break.
Yeah. She even came back after her shift to help the woman download the app and set up her new policy.
It's a perfect example of their helping others move forward philosophy in action.
It is.
Like, Tanya wasn't even required to sell her insurance.
Right.
But she saw someone in need and stepped up.
Exactly.
And then there's the story about Ryan from South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Who helped a stranded motorist who had run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month later, that same woman ended up being his server at a business lunch.
What are the chances?
Right. It's incredible.
It is.
And it just shows how these small acts of kindness can really create this positive ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the woman was so impressed with Ryan that she even considered switching to Progressive.
Just from that one interaction.
Exactly.
It's powerful.
These stories really reveal a side of Progressive.
They do.
That you don't always see in the financial statements.
Right.
They demonstrate this genuine commitment to customer service.
Yeah.
And this culture where employees are empowered to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder how much these positive interactions actually contribute to Progressive's overall success.
I think it's huge.
People are more likely to do business with a company they trust and feel good about.
Absolutely. It's not just about numbers.
Right.
It's about building relationships and having a positive impact on people's lives.
And that, I think, is a key takeaway from this deep dive into Progressive's Q3 performance.
Yeah, it really highlights that a company's worth goes beyond those, you know, financial figures.
It does. It's about people, the values, and their impact on the world.
Okay, we've covered so much today.
We have.
You know, we look at their financial performance, risk management, those interesting marketing strategies, and even those stories about their commitment to customers.
It's been quite the journey. But before we go, why should anyone care about all this?
Mm.
What's the takeaway for our listeners?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that even with these huge challenges like hurricanes,
yeah,
a well-managed company can still do well, even thrive.
It's a testament to that resilience and adaptability.
Exactly. They didn't just weather the storm.
Right.
They came out stronger.
They used their data, expertise, and capital to keep moving forward.
And that's a lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
Whether we're dealing with problems at work or in our personal lives.
What about that second takeaway?
I'd say it's understanding your audience, right, whether you're a business or just trying to communicate well with someone.
Right.
Progressive shows that it's not just about spending money on marketing.
Yeah.
You got to understand what your customers need and want and then tailor your approach.
It's that idea of personalization.
Exactly.
Which is important everywhere, not just business.
Right. You need to connect with people on a deeper level.
Okay. And what's that third takeaway?
I think it's the power of culture and values.
Mm-hmm. Those stories about employees helping customers, they say a lot about Progressive.
Right. It shows that success isn't just about the money.
It's also about the people and their principles.
So creating an environment where people are encouraged to do the right thing, even when nobody's watching?
Exactly. When employees feel valued, they go that extra mile.
Which ultimately makes the company stronger.
And creates a better experience for everyone.
Progressive seems to be doing a lot right there.
They are.
They're financially sound, strategic, and committed to their people.
It's an impressive story, but like any business, there are always challenges.
Yeah, like whether those good trends in auto insurance will continue.
Right. Will inflation force them to raise rates?
And how will they manage growth with the threat of future hurricanes?
A lot of unknowns.
It's a complex situation.
It is. Only time will tell how it all unfolds.
Well, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
I agree.
But before we go, any final thoughts?
Just that Progressive's Q3 shows a company balancing opportunity and risk.
That ability to balance will be crucial going forward.
This deep dive has given me a whole new perspective on the insurance industry.
It's more than just policies and premiums, right?
It's fascinating how dynamic and complex it is.
Definitely.
Thanks for joining us on this journey through Progressive's Q3.
Absolutely.
We hope you found it insightful.
And remember, keep exploring and asking questions.
Until next time.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening. This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.